It is good to be here. Is everybody awake? Feeling ready to do this? Yeah? Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read scripture in Matthew 20, 28. So it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, and ultimately give his life for us, for our sins, right? And so let's just give him that praise today that he deserves for all the glory. Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. Exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing. Told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? Oh, none can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God.
Let's sing it out.
All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart. Love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Let's sing it again, indescribable.
Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God.
Isn't that true?
All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
One last time.
You are amazing, God.
Wow. Okay. So, if you notice, there's some decorations out in the foyer and the hallways, and that is for the school. This week is their spiritual emphasis week, and they are emphasizing God be magnified. And so their theme is magnify, and so you see lots of little insects out there magnified. And this week they just have a special time every every day they have a Bible study in their class, but this week it's a lot more focused on a theme, sort of like a vacation Bible school. And on Tuesday night, they're having an open house, and they would like us to come and check out all the classrooms. If you've been wondering about the school here at all, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 7, the classrooms are all open. You can meet the teachers, see some of the projects that the kids have been working on. I know that Mrs. Nat's class has been working on a U.S. state project, and the kids have little floats in there all over the room. 17 different states represented in there this week, and it's pretty impressive. So something to see Tuesday night from 6 to 7. I know we have a couple of classes that meet that night, and that's fine. That won't interrupt you at all. But there will be some stuff going on around in the classrooms. And then Wednesday, once a month, the school has a hot lunch that the kids can purchase. Well, this month, our church is providing that lunch for free to the whole school. And so Pastor and Ken are going to be making pizzas, and Rhonda and I are going to be working on serving, making some fruit and veggie trays. And if you'd like to come and help, just let me know today. We don't need a lot of people, but another one or two. Yes, sir. And we're wearing our church shirts that day, so we are represented. Like Jan's wearing. Stand up, Janet. Yeah. And Kevin. So it says church without the U. If you're new here, it's not the same without you, church. And on the back, it has our church name. And so she'll get a chance to meet with all the kids. Everyone will be coming through. There's three lunch periods on Wednesday. So if you want to show up and help with that, by 11 o'clock would be great. And we're here usually till 1. So back to Sherry.
Ha, ha, ha. You thought you were safe, didn't you? You thought I'd just go away. It doesn't happen. I'm still here. All right, so virtual baby shower. Again, that's so exciting. We've got people from Eureka doing this. We've got all of us doing this. Packages still showing up. Whoa. And she said her office is full of nursery stuff. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? So we should go play with it, unpack it, put it away. I know, we're not going to do that until it's ready to go in. But the registry is going on through the end of the month. So if you feel led to go in and help out with the baby / nursery / little kids' rooms, go do it. It's on Amazon. If you don't know how to use it, let me know. I'm the Amazon queen, you know. All right, so New Life Christian. We also, they're having a pancake breakfast March 22nd, so that would be next Saturday. Yeah, next Saturday. And what time is that again, like 8?
8 to 10.
This is what happens when there's stuff going on behind me. I don't always look behind me. All right, I live in the now and future, okay? All right, so there's that. Family camp, June 6th to the 8th. And our guest speaker is going to be Bob Wheeler and his wife, Lynn. Oh, look at that. It is up there, too. And please make sure to call and reserve your cabin soon. We keep telling you this, but there's going to be a day when you're going to call, and those cabins are not going to be available. Then you're going to have to pull out your tent. People like me, not so impressed with tents. All right. So there's that. So it's a first-come, first-served basis, so let's do that. Kids Camp is coming up. July 28th through August 1st for kids entering 2nd to 5th grades. So, and we'll have volunteer opportunities, and I believe Pastor's going to be there with bells on, right? You always are. Okay, so there's that. That's the NAS Kids Camp that I just said. See, it's much fancier up there than what I said. And then today, Miss Rhonda is leading our teens in touchdown. So let's see, we have some teens here. If you're not quite teens, stand on your tiptoes. She may not know the difference, and you can go in and go with her too. Yeah, Rhonda says she's not that tall, so she probably wouldn't know. So anyway, we've got our teens today. And pastors want me to hurry up. Last but not least, Yakety Yak is back. We're doing that the last Friday. I know, I'm so excited. The last Friday of the month. So in this month, it's going to be March 28th. And my chef, you know, Rainey, my granddaughter, she's decided that we should have cheese or chicken and cheese quesadillas and stuff to go with it. So that's what we're going to feed the kids. So I think that's it. Okay, back to our pastor.
We're going to go ahead and take our tithes and offerings. What a great reminder as we walk through this building how, as a church, we're being good stewards of what God has given us. We're allowing a beautiful ministry to take place every single day in our church building. We're saying this isn't our building, this is God's building. And what a beautiful reminder. And so now we get an opportunity to tithe and worship God in that, saying we're being good stewards of the money that we get too. In all ways, we're saying, hey, God, this isn't ours, this is yours. And we know that you're gonna take care of us. Dear God, thank you so much for an opportunity to worship you in this way as we prepare our hearts to worship in song. Thank you for all the things you give us so that we can give back. Thank you for a building that we can be good stewards of, allowing ministry to happen every single day right here. I get to see it every single day as I work in my office and see kids just being loved on. What a beautiful way to use our building, to use God's building for his good work. Bless our tithes and offerings today as we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, Terry.
Let's all stand together. Light of the world, you step down. Darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you, and here I am to worship. Upon that cross, yeah, I'll never Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Sing it one last time, just the voices. Here I am to worship. Here I am to
bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
We're all together lovely,
all together worthy, all together
wonderful to
upon the waters, wherever you would call.
keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, you are mine. Oh, you are mine. So you'll notice the songs are a little more mellow today, and that was intentional. And it's just this time leading up to Easter that we are, it's not just about the songs, right? It's about coming before God and aligning our hearts during this time with Christ, right? Because he laid down his life for ours. And so as we're just enjoying this time of worshiping him, let's just all remember that and we choose to follow Jesus, right? Yeah. That's what we're doing. If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. And if you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Strike me, I will embrace you. If you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. And I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I choose surrender. Jesus way, I choose. And I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. And he wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
You may be seated. So this Lenten season, we're going to continue in that intercessory prayer in our prayer time. And one thing that our author said this week that really stuck out to me was that the Lenten season is a megaphone through which we hear the word of the Lord reminding us of the commitment needed to follow Jesus. The commitment needed to come together in unity, to share and love. And this is such an important time for us to be able to come and pray for each other or those who need prayer. And so I'm just going to kind of go down my list. If you could please come up and pray for one of these people, if God is calling you to do that, for Cindy Rose's mom, Amy and Cindy's mom, for Cheryl, in her healing, Garling House, if someone could please come and pray for her. Peggy Radcliffe. And then Jan and Terry, let's have you come and pray for Carissa and Adam. Someone could come and pray for Terry Rexford. And then Terry Schneider's sister also, if someone could please come pray for her. And then I also asked Kaylin, if it was okay if we prayed. Kaylin, she's going to come forward. She's just walking through some stuff that she's struggling with. So if those of you could come, Kelly, Cindy, just come lay a hand on Kaylin today. We're going to pray an extra anointing over her. Ladies, thank you, Carson. Come praying for your mom. That's the best thing when your kids are coming and wrapping their hands around their parents. And if someone could please come and just lay their hands on Jan and Terry today as they're praying for their daughter-in-law and their son, Adam and Carissa. Thank you, Michael. God is so good. So good just to come before him and pray for him, pray with him, pray for those who are hurting, those who are battling. We had praises this week with Terry's sister. Terry, what's your sister's name? What is it?
Lori,
thank you. She texted me at night. I hope it's okay I share this. Okay, thank you. She texted me the night that she went into the hospital. She said, Cole, they don't even think she's going to make it. She's in ICU. I said, okay, we're just going to start praying. So I sent her a prayer, and I was praying for her. And you know when that happens and you're praying, God wakes you up in the middle of the night too, right? Every time I woke up, I was like, okay, God, we got to pray for Lori. And then before I could even text her to see how she was doing, I got another text. My sister made it through the night. She's doing great. She's going to be okay. What a praise. Isn't that a great way to wake up in the morning? It's like, yes, God is so good. God is so good. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about communion. That's why we have communion out here. And Jesus met with his disciples in preparation for walking to the cross. In that Passover time. And at the Eureka Nazarene Church, they don't have this beautiful display. They don't have joys to make communion. No, they're missing out. But they have these little communion cups, these little guys. I'm sure you've seen these. And our little cups, they open up, and there's juice, and then there's cracker in here. And little kids, they think, oh, that's a really good snack. And so sometimes they run up there and they'll grab it really quick, run away and drink in the juice. And I remember my little nephew Warren, he was just a little guy at the time, and they have these communion cups and these big baskets. And he was just tall enough where he stood on his tip, he could roll his hand over and grab one. And I was standing over on the front as people were coming in, and I saw him just kind of run over there. And my brother's standing there, and he sees him. And so he goes over to Warren, and Warren's got this cup, and he's, you know. And Nathan picks him up, and he goes and sits down next to him on the seat. And he takes the cup, and he says, "Warren, this is a promise." And he starts opening the cup, and he says, This is the juice. This is God's blood. It says you're saved. And then he opened the bread, he handed it to him, and he said, "And then this is God's body that was broken for you." And right there before church, my brother had communion with his little 3-year-old son. Yes. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Yeah. And he could have said, "Warren, that's not for you." But he didn't. Instead, he took the opportunity to say, "You're God's child too. And this is what God's done for you." Isn't that amazing? What a beautiful opportunity to share Jesus with your son. Communion, God's promise to us, a reminder what God did for us, a reminder for little Warren what Jesus Christ did for him. Even at 3 years old, he can take communion with his dad right there on the steps of church. And just as he was so loving to him, we see the Gospel Luke, Jesus asking his disciples to sit and eat with him in the last Passover, loving his disciples. He was wanting to do this with them. And we watch Jesus sit and eat with his disciples one last time before he suffers. One last time to love them in this way. And we see this story not only walking through the tradition of the Passover, but sitting at this table with a truly innocent sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to focus on the sacrifice Christ made and how it serves an example to us. We're also going to spend a little time reflecting on the tradition of communion and what it means when we celebrate the sacrament together in unity. So please stand as we learn from God's word together. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22, verse 7 through 27. It's a bit long, so if you need to sit down, that's okay, but I'm going to read it because it's important. "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed." Whew, that's heavy. "Jesus sent Peter and John saying, 'Go and make preparations for us and eat the Passover.' 'Well, where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room? Where am I to eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." So they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Now when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Eagerly desired. "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you, this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him." And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. And then a dispute arose among them as to which was the considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Lord God, help us to remember that we are here to serve. Serve like Christ. Be with us and allow this word to just transform our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 7 through 13, it begins with the Passover, because the day had come, the day of unleavened bread. And so we're reminding the people that their God and their deliverance from evil, Egypt, well, that too. Here we go. Start again. The Passover was remind people of God and their deliverance from Egypt. I almost said it again. Evening of Passover. That was when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Do you see the resemblance here, how important this is? The Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, and it was eaten with bitter herbs and matzo. And then Jesus sent Peter and John to go make preparations. So they know they're going to do this. Jesus is sending Peter and John. They said, where do you want us to prepare it? And Jesus said, enter the city, and a man carrying a jug of water will meet you. And they found this man, and he offered them the guest room. Isn't that good? So this is what you're going to do? And they did it. And they found exactly what he said. And then in verse 14 through 18, we see that Jesus and his disciples were reclining at the table. I love that. We're just hanging out with Jesus. And then the Passover, it was originally supposed to be eaten standing, because that meant they were going to run. They were going to leave Egypt. In Exodus 12, 11, with your cloak tucked into your belt and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, they had to be ready to go. But see, by the time Jesus' day came around, they were all sitting, because standing was how a slave ate. And so they wanted to sit in the posture of celebrating being free. And so Jesus was eager to sit with his disciples, eager to celebrate the freedom from slavery in Egypt. Even Jesus went through the Passover his whole life. And so this meal would have been significant to what had happened, and it would be the Passover, his very last one to celebrate before he suffered. He took a cup, and he gave thanks, dividing it among his disciples. Now, the Passover would usually begin with prayer, and it would be the first of four cups of wine. And this is why he's dividing these cups. There's four. And then they would dish of herbs and sauce. And then the Passover story was recited. Psalms 113 was sung, and then the second cup of wine. And then grace and the main course, roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. And then prayer, and the third cup of wine. And then Psalms 114 to 118 was sung. And then the fourth cup of wine. Luke 22, 18, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He's walking through this with them. And in verse 19 through 20, Jesus broke the bread of his disciples. He took the bread and he gave thanks. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then Jesus took the cup for his disciples. Most likely this was the third cup in the line of the Passover. And it's to symbolize his blood and sacrifice. In Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. This new covenant in Christ's blood poured out for us. Jesus is setting this covenant moment up with his disciples. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. He's preparing his disciples. Do you see this? And then in verse 21 through 22, he mentions the betrayer sat right with his disciples. Now, Jesus knew that Satan had entered Judas, but there at his table sitting among us, verse 21 through 22, as a friend, is the man who will betray me, for it has determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? And we know that story. Jesus knows exactly what is happening, and he still chooses to follow this call. Amen. Do you understand how heavy that is? He literally sits with his betrayer at the Passover, knowing he's going to suffer, and he still chooses it. And so then the disciples begin to question, who is it? Who's going to do that? Not me. But Judas knows. Judas knows. And then I think this is funny that Luke goes right from that to, who's the greatest? I'm not going to betray him, so I must be amazing. And so Jesus is quick to remind them of his economy. Great is the opposite of man's idea. We talked about that last week. In Luke 22, 27, for who is greater, the one is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Follow me. I serve you. You go and serve. And so why is all this important? This breakdown of what Luke is sharing. I mean, we know the Passover is important. We see Jesus as the lamb. What is he trying to break down for us? Well, the first thing I think is that God equips the call. Yeah. When God called on us, he goes ahead of us to prepare the way, just like he did John and Peter. He said, hey, go and take care of this. Go and talk. Go get the meal ready. He still works for us. Yeah. And he handles the biggest unknown things. And so God doesn't just send us in the world, say, take care of this, do this. He prepares the way. He provides what we need. And in these moments, we grow. Our faith grows through these trials, and we have to ask for wisdom and know and really, I can't think of what I'm trying to say, really hold on to what he wants us to do. We can't just guess. We have to trust that he's going to give us that wisdom. And then our preparation matters. Our own preparation matters. What we bring to the table. Because the Passover included removing any type of yeast. That was the sin. When we come to communion, our hearts need to be ready. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We need to take communion with prepared hearts that are ready to hear what God wants us to do. Coming together, that's our job. We say, God, prepare my heart because I'm taking communion with my church family. Asking God to reveal any sin in our hearts or lives. Any sin in our lives that we need to repent of and receive God's grace. And then our hearts are ready. Our hearts are ready to come together as a church family to take communion. And then we come to that greatest in God's kingdom. Oof. While Jesus was preparing to lay down his life for everyone, the disciples were discussing which was greatest. They knew something was going to happen. They just didn't totally understand it. They didn't understand the magnitude of it. And Jesus here is preparing them that he's going to sacrifice himself. And the disciples were focused on power and position. Too often we do that ourselves. And so we fight to get the most influence we can, not noticing God's movement and God's spirit of where he's going. Luke 22, 26, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest and the one who rules like the one who serves. Like little Warren. Oh, okay, Dad, that's what that is? Just wanting to know. There's something special about that cup. I know it because everybody else does it in church every Sunday. It must be really good. And Nathan taking that moment, say, this is what it's about. He didn't concern himself with worry over what was ahead. Jesus knew he had a call on his life. And he didn't refuse to wash Jesus' feet, even though he knew that he would start the process. Instead, he knelt and washed the dirty, stinky, nasty feet of the disciples who would just walk away. Jesus showed the greatest true greatness in serving others in this moment, even if it wasn't easy. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. We are to follow Jesus Christ's example. Amen? Amen. And as I was writing the sermon and walking through it, I was trying to think, what have I seen in my life? The person who has sacrificed and walked with, and I kept coming back to my husband. He just sacrifices and serves his family. That's how he leads his family. He's constantly serving us. And I just it just kept coming back to my mind as when we were newly married, you know, you don't have any money. And you're just trying to make it through. I remember there would be some days he'd deposit his paycheck and I'd be like, well, paid the bills, I got $50 for groceries. That's my job. I got a coupon like crazy. But he would find ways to work on the side or have a second job or third job just to make sure that we could make ends meet and there'd be food on the table. He was constantly sacrificing himself to serve his family. I think I fell in love with him that way because that's how my dad was. He was always finding ways to sacrifice himself for his family. He'd get up at 2 a.m, go to work, so he'd get off at 3 and pick us up from school. And then he would take us to sports games, and I think back, how did you even do that? Did you even sleep? But he loved us so much. Yeah. We see that sacrificial love. I see it every day. What a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus was the lamb who had to be sacrificed. Jesus needed to suffer and die to fulfill the new covenant. He was called to live a sinless life and serve others. And then he called his disciples to then serve as he served. You have a choice today. Will you humble yourselves? Will you humble yourself to go where God is leading, where God is calling you? Will you stoop down to the floor to pick up a rag and wash somebody's dirty feet? Whew. Or will you, like the disciples, find yourself fat and sassy, trying to judge the greatness and the position that you're in? During the last meal, Jesus began a tradition of communion with his disciples. The bread and the cup are things we receive with thanksgiving. They're a free gift. They're a free gift to us by Christ. We don't deserve them, but they're free. Amen. A new offer to us, new life in Christ. We receive this new life of faith and we're released from sin and death. And when we take communion, we are called to the table with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not meant to see one another in competition. Amen. But as teammates, yes, in God's kingdom, coming together in remembrance, yes, in unity, serving alongside one another, raising each other's gifts, yeah, seeing the beauty that God has prepared in us to bring to the table. Jesus is clear in this example of what we're supposed to do and who we're supposed to be. To be faithful in imitating him. I'll leave you with this. As children of God, we take communion to remember what Christ did for us. Humbly coming to the table in unity. Not seeing each other as competition, but as family. Isn't that good? Yeah. Remembering what Christ did, we're going to humbly come to the table today. I'm going to ask Jan and Terry to come. You know, if you feel like there's something that God's working on, you just need to ask for forgiveness, do that. Prepare your heart. say, God, take care of it. Jorgen, you want to come up and play a little bit while we come and take the elements? Prepare your heart to come into unity with your church family today. Say, hey, I'm humbly coming before God together. Our gifts together. Remembering together. Because we walk this journey together. Amen. Amen? And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is poured out for you. Take and drink. Thank you, Lord God, that we could come and take communion together in unity as a family. Our hearts prepared and ready to remember you and what you gave for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we close and sing.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
By mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. And by your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we to worship, and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We respond to
that Passover lamb sitting right there in front of the disciples. They didn't even realize it yet. They were so full of themselves, they couldn't quite see you as that lamb yet. Lord, today we saw you as that lamb. We took a minute to prepare our hearts, let go of those sins and burdens. Said, I trust you today, I've given you everything. Heal me of those sins. Heal relationships, because I'm ready to come do communion with my church family as one body. That's what you've called us to do today. It's not about us. Your promise, that new covenant. Oh, it's so good. God, I'm just going to take a minute this morning just to sit in prayer. And all the hearts here, just to, everyone here has something to say, I'm sure, just as a thank you for you, God. So I'm just going to let them speak to you for a minute. Jesus today. Go tell somebody that Jesus loves them.